We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Chairman, Republicans had a seemingly really good opportunity to gain General Assembly seats during the recent recession. Are you surprised that they were not able to do a better job of capitalizing on that?
No. We focused on delivering superior candidates to our Republican opponents, and the citizens realize that.
Now, we know there have been a lot of Republican governors in Rhode Island, but Republicans like to say that the Democrats who've controlled the General Assembly almost without end since 1935 bear a lot of responsibility for Rhode Island's long-term economic problems. How do you respond?
The fact of the matter is, during this past session, the Republicans voted unanimously for our budget in record time.
Obviously, Rhode Island's economic problems didn't exist just in the last year or two. We're talking about a situation that has gone on for decades.
Well, I would let Governor Cacciari certainly take some of the responsibility for actions within his administration, and particularly Studio 38. It's something that he's been like missing in action. We're ready to put his name on a milk carton.
What about in decades prior to that? I mean, Rhode Island has basically been in economic decline since the Industrial Revolution, and Democrats have had the dominant branch of political power in this state.
The economic decline in Rhode Island, if you look at the history of manufacturing in the state, is something that happened in many other Northeast cities, with a shift in our economy from a manufacturing-based economy to a service economy. And was the state, have we been slow to adapt to some of these changes? Possibly, yes. Has it been legislatively and business motivation behind that adaptation? Possibly.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering, were you surprised when you found out about the latest revelations about former Speaker Fox, someone you work very closely with, part of the Democratic leadership, that he met with Kurt Schilling and a principal in 38 Studios before they even met with the governor?
I was surprised, Scott, particularly on that vote, which was a loan incentive plan for small businesses in Rhode Island. Having been a small business owner in Rhode Island, I know especially, and I knew especially at that time, when there was a lack of capital for investment for small businesses, that, hey, that sounded like a great idea. And we were very disappointed in the results afterwards when it went to one company.
Hillary Clinton has had a rough week or two in the Democratic presidential race. Are you concerned about the impact on her campaign?
Yes, I am. I am concerned. And I think it's she's going to have to work and turn the corner on this particular episode and get the facts out there.
Why do you think it is that very liberal Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is generating so much traction and drawing such huge crowds all across the country in his quest?
Well,
improbable though it may be, in his quest as a long shot candidate.
He has, he's very progressive, and he has a lot of support here in Rhode Island, as well as Hillary. But he is hit a chord with especially his payment for higher education. And with young people today having tremendous burdens with their college loans, someone that comes along with a very innovative idea to fund higher ed is appealing to that young progressive base, which the Democratic Party has quite a large population of. So that's part of his appeal. And I think it's interesting that after he rolled out his plan, Secretary Clinton had a plan that isn't too much different. So I am very pleased that the Democrats are debating how to improve education, higher ed, and make it affordable for everyone, as the Republicans are talking about building walls and rounding up people in the streets.
Do you think some of this is that Sanders is touching a chord with his constant focus on income inequality?
I think that's part of it, certainly, and it's a part of very appealing to progressive Democrats.
We're talking here with State Democratic Chairman and Warwick State Representative Joseph McNamara. Joe, you're a former educator, and we've heard for a long time in Rhode Island about how important it is to improve public education in poor cities like Providence, Central Falls, Pawtucket, so those kids can have a good shot at getting good jobs. Do you think Rhode Island is making enough progress on this issue quickly enough?
I am frustrated with the achievement gap that we see in our urbans, and I believe that we have to focus more resources, not less, on those schools, and particularly our education formula that looks at poverty but does not look at English language learners. So there has to be funding for those students who enter our schools and need help with English.
I'm wondering, I looked at some numbers just today in the University of Rhode Island's incoming freshman class, just moving onto campus in a couple of weeks, is going to be a majority, 52% that is, of out-of-state students rather than Rhode Islanders. Now, I understand why they did this, because the legislature over the years cut so much money from them that they had either a choice of dumbing down their programs or raising the money by getting higher tuition from out-of-staters. Does that concern you as a long-term trend?
Yes, it does concern me, Scott. And last session, I introduced some legislation that would have our Department of Education establish graduation rate goals and offer an incentive to our institutions of higher earning that achieve those goals. Because the fact of the matter is, when we look at only 20-some percent of Rhode Island College graduates earning their degree in 4 years, it adds to the cost of college. Mm-hmm. And it is not only the $20,000 that they pay at URI and RIC for the fourth year, it's the $45,000 that they lose when they'd be working. So the price is $65,000.
Scott referred a little bit earlier to former House Speaker Gordon Fox, who we now know is the guest of the federal government due to his admission of corruption. I wonder if you think that Rhode Island suffers from systemic corruption.
I think that Rhode Island is focuses on it, as do other states. The Speaker of the House in Massachusetts, I think the last several speakers, have gone through similar problems and issues. I don't believe it's systematic. I believe that one or two individuals, and I've served in the Rhode Island House of Representatives for 2 decades, and I've been honored to do that. But we've seen along the way there are individuals that have unethical and criminal conduct.
Obviously, Rhode Islanders are very skeptical of government subsidies and programs. How difficult do you think it's going to be to sell a Paw Sox stadium deal to move the team to Providence?
I believe the Paw Sox are going to have to come forward, and I know if I was the owner of the Boston Red Sox, the guy that I would have out front would be Jerry Capstein, the guy, the Rhode Islander we see sitting behind home plate, who is a better statistician than anyone else I know that's in public radio. He started when he was 13 with the College Friars. And if Jerry came out and laid out a plan that was revenue neutral and talked to Rhode Islanders the way they want to be spoken to, and that is given the facts, not this dog and pony show that they have going around to the different communities that doesn't seem to be effective.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Warwick State Representative and Chairman of the Rhode Island Democratic Party, Joseph McNamara.
Thank you very much.